like to welcome and introduce Mr. Ant Park and Mr. Nick Hanley to today's episode. For those watching who may not have met you guys before, what are you guys best known for right now? That may be a perfect place to start.
Who's going?
I'll go. We're probably best known for working for Pure Gym, heading up all the PT education from the business side of things. So we do a lot of these Zooms, even more so over the last year. So we deliver, design, develop all the kind of education for PTs working out of a Pure Gym, and some product stuff. And I guess we're also known for, more Anthony known for being very vocal on social media. It's a very polite way of putting it, isn't it?
I don't know what you mean.
I don't either. Explain it. Explain to the audience.
Ant's very active on social media. We have a company called PTMA, or Personal Training Mentor Academy. And essentially, we mentor, coach personal trainers to build a business, get better at what they're doing, be more confident, et cetera, et cetera. But Ant likes to, let's say, voice his opinion a lot. She's fine, you know?
Yeah, slightly controversial.
I don't think so. Well, actually, what I was just going to say was, I don't think what you do say is controversial. I think it's often thought-provoking, and it may be what a lot of people, not a lot of people, but what some people just filter out, whereas you're just quite upfront and straight talking about it.
Yeah, I think, listen, like, the main thing that we want to do is raise the standards of coaching and raise the standards of personal training, and that's, in our opinion, that's from the right place. And obviously I get slightly frustrated on social media when it's not coming from the right place from other people. And there's only kind of one sole focus, which is volume, numbers, revenue, and all of that type of crap. So, I think we come at it from a decent place because we've been in the industry long enough to know, suppose what's right in a sense of when it comes to authenticity and integrity and supporting personal trainers to build a sustainable business instead of just, I suppose, what they preach to clients, which is that quick fix that they have a go at clients for. But we're seeing a vast amount of personal trainers falling for the same quick fix with some of these gurus, and that's where I like to voice my opinion.
Yeah. And I guess you touched on a couple of things there, because what you two are talking about day in, day out with any of your audiences, whether it's the Pure Gym audience or the PTMA audience, you're talking about those things from a point of experience and years of experience. And I recently learned, listening to the Lift the Bar podcast, about Nick's days on the cruise ships, which I'm excited to learn more about. So I guess to add some context to how we've opened up there, would you each explain to the guys watching kind of what your story is, your backgrounds, and how you got to this point today?
So I've been coaching. This sounds really strange when I say it out loud, but I've been coaching from the age of about 14.
Why does that sound strange?
No, because I always get raised eyebrows in a sense. Everyone looks, how can you qualify as a coach at like 14 years old? But I basically qualified in like sport specific coaching qualifications and worked with teams as like as young as kind of 5, 6, 7 year olds. And I was really passionate about coaching then. So that's kind of where it come from, but more so in group format. I then worked, my first job was working for a sports development kind of area in Bury, near Greater Manchester, where I just went into schools, done PE, worked with kind of antisocial behaviour order kind of kids who were struggling and in deprived areas and stuff like that, trying to get them into sport. So that's where it literally came from. And I thought, when that job was kind of coming to an end and there wasn't any funding from Sport England and stuff like that, I fell into personal training. It was never really something I had my eye on, if I'm dead honest, because I always wanted to work in team sport. and work with groups. So qualified as personal trainer, what, 17, 18 years ago now. And yeah, started out fitness first, worked in commercial gyms, done a lot of stuff wrong at the start, plainly because I had no business acumen at all, which is why I'm so passionate about it now. Then I've kind of got a bit lost within the industry in a sense of, I really struggled at the start. Then I got massively busy and I didn't know how to handle it. And then I was like, right, sack this. I got into the industry because I wanted to be in pro sport or within sport. And I qualified as a UK strength and conditioning coach. I'd done a hell of a lot of their workshops and stuff like that. And then I fell back into kind of team sport, team environments and stuff like that. Worked in a private facility. And then started to write courses for Fitness First, started to write little bits of courses and wanting to help PTs. And that made me come full circle back to the commercial gym world. As Pure Gym were rising rapidly, they had absolutely no PT support. So I was like, well, here's an opportunity. So I kind of, my in was, I've built this PT support that I'm already working with PTs in a private facility. Let me just share this with you. And that's how I landed at Pure Gym. I've been there for the past kind of 7 years, met Nick, and then we launched the PTMA off the back of it. So yeah, that's me.
Nick? So you were already there when Anne started?
Yeah, he's been there. Bloody first, got put in the first building in.
Really?
It was Club 8 or 9, I think it was.
Wowzers.
Impressive, that.
So how many years ago is that now?
Over 10 years now.
Wow.
Yeah. So yeah, cut a long story short.
Talk about the cruise ships.
Yeah, come on.
There's not a lot I can share. I mean, I can talk about the work side, which was just brutal in a sense of timetable, the variety of stuff you had to do. Because basically, I heard about the cruise ships when I was 16. That's the first time I ever heard the term personal trainer. And it was because I was ill, going through my GCSEs, which messed up going into my A-levels. And so all my friends were going into A-levels and I went off and did like a GMVQ in leisure and tourism or something. And there was all these opportunities coming up and there was a Fitness First on, no, not Fitness First. I can't remember which one it was, but it was Centre of Birmingham. And they were premier, were doing like little tours and went around. This guy showed us around, told us about the course. It was with my old man. And he spoke about like qualifying and then being able to have this link between going on to cruise ships. And I always wanted to travel. And I was like, right, that's it. And so
all you heard was cruise ships at that
point. Yeah, that was it. And anyway, fast forward college and uni and stuff like that. Went down to London, you do like a month's training and assessment. So they qualified you in like yoga and Pilates and aerobics and step and spin and all this other stuff. Like it was just this boot camp and it was awesome because you were just literally training and learning for a full time.
But you still take step.
I know, right? Because on the cruise ship, you usually have people embarking on a Monday or whatever, on a Sunday, and disembarking on a Saturday, you only had to learn one routine because they were only there for 7 days. So, and you only strategically put on like one or two step sessions.
Very true.
And so I know one routine of step, I know one routine because I just hated them. But no, it was full on because you ran the gym completely. From PT, you didn't clean the gym, but PT, opening, closing, full timetable, BCAs, like your assessments to try and sell yourself products. And so you had like a really massive pressure of going in and making revenue because the company, the vendor, Steiner it was, they had targets for each ship and blah, blah, blah. And so you had targets to hit, and these were like anywhere from like 5 to 20 grand a week you had to make revenue, and you didn't get paid, so you didn't have a basics, you got commission. So if you didn't do anything, you didn't get paid. So that taught me very quickly to graft and to sell.
I was about to say, I bet that was a bit of a baptism of fire at that point in your career. Oh, but looking back, probably like a good thing.
Yeah. I mean, literally, you knew if you made it through the first 2 weeks, then you were okay. Where the first 2 weeks, you had a lot of people come on who they'd just be in tears every day. And it's a really, really high pressured full, because you literally, you work, you have like half a day off here, half a day off there, whatever. So you're just working for 8-9 months straight.
Getting a tan.
Well, you were working.
Yeah, but then he moved to Oz and got even more of a tan.
Yeah, and then I moved to Oz.
And that was personal training again now?
Yeah. So I always wanted, I'd never wanted to stop my career. Always wanted to kind of learn different things. I met a lot of Aussies on the cruise ships and I was like, oh, it just sounds amazing. So I moved to Oz and I was worked out of like small, really like boutique PT studios that one transferred into like a CrossFit gym. Worked in the CBD, worked in like a place down Bondi, all different kind of little places, did some PT in the parks, just literally just did a bit of everything. And then lost my sponsorship about 3 years in, something like that. And then spent like 6-7 months in Thailand, just spending a lot of money and chilling out. Yeah. And then got into Pure. Forgot about that.
Oh, and just went straight from Thailand straight into Pure.
Well, I had like a stopgap of like PTing out of Esporta and doing like a bit of management there. But then literally saw an advert and it was like opening up this gym. You know, there was no inductions, there was no classes. It was like you go in, you open the doors, you manage not a lot because there's no product in there. I was like, oh, sweet. So I'm going and get a manager's wage, which is PT all day.
Mm-hmm.
That was quite a little bit like it was at the beginning for a very short period of time, but then as soon as you had these PTs come in, and I'd been away from the industry for a long time in the UK, it was like, Jesus, they're even worse off than I was like 8-9 years ago. And that's where like the passion for coaching just transferred over into PTs just naturally.
So what time span was cruise ships to now?
Oh,
how many years is that? You can take a bit off if you want.
18, 19 years ago.
Okay. What's
that?
So, we were talking about this a little bit yesterday, obviously in preparation for chatting today a little. And if you look at that, you've both been in the industry, say, 17, 18, 19, 20 years.
Yeah.
I've been knocking around for 15 years. And I think we would probably all agree there's still a ton left that we want to achieve. And I certainly feel like I'm still very much kind of scratching the surface. So, you know, we can say that neither one of us overnight have achieved what we have already to date in our careers. And I've heard you guys talk about this often as a topic on, you know, in other recorded sessions or your own live Q&As or podcasts, about this notion that a lot of PTs can enter into our space, coaches enter into our space with this notion that you can create your own personal training business or you can create a livelihood off of the back of being a personal trainer or similar. But there's often this misconception that that can happen within months or even within the first few years. And I think we're all testament to the fact that it takes a lot of time to graft to where it is that you want to be. And I know we talk about this a lot, but do you still think that this is something that is still apparent within our workforce now, or has the mindset shifted a little bit, or where are the guys at, do you think?
I think the difficult thing here is, and when I was listening to like Nick say his piece in regards to experience and stuff like that, is the entry level into the fitness industry is normally through a commercial gym. So you come through a training provider who in some cases sell you a bit of a dream, in some cases, I know it's not as bad as it used to be now. And then the entry level is in a commercial gym. And in 9 times out of 10, that's in a self-employed PT position. And that means that you have to be fairly quick as a young person, because normally it is, to spin many plates. And whilst you're spinning plates, you've got people telling you left, right, and center, you can earn 10K a month. So the message out there right now is really difficult, in my opinion, for a new personal trainer to coming in to have that mindset of delayed gratification slightly, because that's what it is, isn't it? It's you being able to understand that actually this is a process and I've got a lot to learn and I need to embrace and enjoy this process. It just seems that everyone's in a rush, right? And I know that's society today, but I understand that. But personal trainers more so, because, and I think that comes back to like attributes and traits, in a sense of a lot of them are competitive. A lot of them have come from like sporting backgrounds and are quite competitive with themselves. They compare themselves a lot. They also come from a background of probably where they lack confidence and so on. That's why they're in the industry. So without going out of light or going off on a massive tangent, I think it's really tough if their entry level into the industry doesn't back them.
Mm.
What I mean by that is we've seen this, like, I remember being in that studio in the city centre of Manchester, and at that point I had a nice little balance of corporate guys in my business. I had some athletes and some scholars on like in apprentice stage of kind of under 19s rugby clubs or whatever, right? And I was sat there thinking, these two lads who are also PTs are churning these level 2 and level 3 out. I'm in this little assessment room at the side. And then they're coming back a few months later struggling because they're in these commercial gyms without any help. Like, and that was just apparent. And that's when I started to think about kind of, right, this summit needs to be done. Because Fitness First had a decent setup, but it was all a bit too late at that point when I was in, like, working for them and doing bits for them in the past. So in my opinion, like the entry level into the industry, we as commercial gyms have to do more to support the PTs. And I think, don't get me wrong, there's some really, really good commercial gyms out there in supporting them, but it's not consistent enough. So this is where I think, I'm not surprised that PTs don't have the same similar mindset towards us being, it's a process, embrace it, enjoy learning through the pathway, get things wrong, like fail first and all of that type of stuff. There isn't that type of mentality as it was 15, 17, 20 years ago when we were here. I don't know what Nick thinks.
Yeah, I think it's a difficult one, isn't it? It's a difficult one. I mean, point of entry is easy. Let's be honest, because the market's so massive and because of the high churn through the market of the workforce, you know, the operators always need people. And so it's a supply and demand. If a training provider can supply PTs faster for the operators, then it's a better business model, isn't it? Because the numbers go up and the revenue goes up. And then the operators don't put any filters in place because it's bums on seats to a certain degree, you know. So it's very difficult. It's very, very, very difficult. The market's created that a little bit. But I guess as well, you've got to take into consideration I suppose all three of us have got a unique point of view, because we came into industry where you had to like search for ages to find anything, really, you know, where now it's literally you pick up the phone and you see someone and you want to, they're doing
what you're saying there, Nick, is we predate social media, but you were just being kind, but yeah.
Yeah. But you can just see it where, like, if you're in a gym, it, you know, before social media, sound ancient, don't I? Or social media, you know, you only saw the PTs in your gym.
Yeah.
Any other concept of what was going on in the industry at all, unless you did networking, which was few and far between, unless you went to events, which was few and far between. Now it's just everything's, and that's a massive positive thing as well, because education and upskilling it's everywhere, isn't it? It's absolutely everywhere. But I just think there's just so many different things and shiny things to look at now and want, and so many different ways of doing it, that there's just a huge amount of confusion and misinformation.
That's a good point.
If I came into the industry, I'd be like, do I want to be online? Do I want to be boot camp? Do I want to work in a gym, open my own gym? Because that's more accessible now, like compared to 10 years ago. you know, setting up your own unit, it's relatively cheap. It's relatively cheap to just set up your own unit and kind of crack the models that are out there. So, yeah, it's a difficult one. It is a difficult one, but I'm not surprised of where the industry's at with everything now.
I think as well, though, it depends, talking about the entry point, I think it depends what you're greeted with as well, what situation you face and how you respond to that. A little like we talked about you with the ships and that baptism of fire, but that forced you to hustle and figure out what it would take. And, and part of that's obviously your personality, etc. But I'm sure between us, we could probably chat all day about scenarios like that that we walked into early days in our career and thought, holy crap, I've no idea how to figure this out. But here we go, figure it out after or whatever. And I know for definite back, like my first kind of out of ops, my first real kind of career block of time probably was when I worked for Technogym. And some of the principles, practices, spreadsheets even that I used 15 years ago at Technogym, I still use every single day now. So it's having that grounding and that foundation and some of those tough days and some of those tough times that inform every single thing that I do now, for definite. But I guess getting back to topic and my original question, it's almost, I sort of see it as half and half in some way. I think a lot of the guys watching this or new guys coming into the industry, they're off, to your point, Anne, it's not fully explained necessarily or explained in the right way what it takes to be successful and that kind of hustle side of you and certain things. I don't think that roadmap is necessarily made clear for the guys or even kind of what level of grit and roll your sleeves up kind of work is required. But I completely agree with your point. I think as a sector, and we had a meeting about this actually this morning, the Simspa meeting, I don't think we set people up all that well to be successful. So people are left to figure it out on their own. And you guys know this more than most. So I can see why we still have this big disconnect between people that enter and stay a long time and those that enter and do well. And the spectrum of success is so massive. Mm-hmm. Go on, what are you saying?
No, go on.
In terms of the guys that you look after, as it were, and connect with every single day, for the guys watching, how many coaches are we talking about at Pure Gym? And then how many people do you have coming through the academy?
So at Pure Gym, it averages in and around currently about 3,000 PTs. And obviously the more sites they open, the more that'll increase. So that's in and around that volume of people. And then in the academy, there's in and around 50-ish people at any one time on different types of products. Because obviously we use that as kind of part of our role. That's kind of the volume of people we deal with. And then over the last 5 years, if you look at the average general organic attrition rate of a commercial gym, you're looking at, we've probably worked with up to nearly 8,000-9,000 PTs.
So with that, that's one of the reasons, aside from the general entertainment value of you guys, that I wanted you to kick off this mentor series that we have in Fortitude, because you've done the work yourselves. You've mentored that volume of people through the process. And in my mind, you represent the coach so well. In every aspect. And I know a lot of the guys that you help and support work in all aspects across the sector as well. Mm-hmm. So with that level of expertise and with this mentor hat in mind, I wanted to fire a few questions at you. So when it comes to success and being a successful coach, what difference do you think a mentor makes? Whether that's you guys or any mentor in general, what difference does having that mentor by your side make, do you reckon?
I think being very specific in regards to PTs, because mentor obviously can be crossover so many different roles and sectors. It's a very, 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 very lonely career being a self-employed personal trainer. And a lot of the time, Because it's a passion-driven role. It's a passion. Like, you don't get into PT because you don't get into PT specifically to make a lot of money. Like, don't know, you can make a lot of money. I'm not saying you can't, but it's more of a passion-led kind of role, isn't it? Like, you get in there because you enjoy being in the gym. You've been through a journey yourself. You've been sporty in the past. You like helping people, blah, blah, blah. And I think because of that, a lot of the time coaches base a lot of their methods, principles, values off solely off their own biases and experiences, which is great. But running a business in that way can fall short a hell of a lot of the time. And I think what a mentor does and adds to that scenario is voicing it and getting that person to critically think about, okay, well, that method worked for me, but my clients aren't the same as me, and they're much further down the road than I am right now, right? Maybe a step back and kind of look at the methods I use, the coaching techniques or whatnot. So I think it's very much to elicit critical thinking and having that person or people there to bounce ideas off, you know, as well as many other things like accountability and bits and bobs. But I think if I was to kind of pinpoint one thing that I know a lot of the guys from the one-to-one to the group stuff and all the pure gym guys, it's literally kind of having that person to kind of, from my standpoint, is being that mentor, is to get them to think about what they're saying and what they're thinking, if it actually makes sense to that scenario, and get them to think outside their little bubble, which brings around different methods and opportunities and solutions and better directions, rather than this isn't working for this guy or girl, why aren't they doing it, and just getting stuck at that kind of not being able to push through.
I think everybody needs that as well, though, don't they? And I think sometimes coaches can think, oh, is it like a negative reflection on me because I need that sounding board or I need that help? But there isn't a person that I know professionally that doesn't rely on someone else to bounce stuff around on. And I've always thought, like, for our sector, like, you see people spinning out of university, for example, right? They spin out of university, they go on a grad scheme, they go into a role. They're not expected to be the complete version of their profession on day one. But I feel like often coaches and trainers are, sometimes by their employers, sometimes by themselves, sometimes by the client, and they're not almost allowed, even if sometimes that's allowing themselves, to evolve into who it is that they're going to become. And I always find that's a hard deal for the guys watching, because you're expected to become an expert in human performance and mental health and a library of a gazillion exercises and all these other things straight out of qualification. And I don't think as a sector that they've been allowed, there's not really an allowance for that, and they're all busy, I think. Nick, Anderson, anything you'd add to what Nick said?
No, I'm just rattling through my brain in a sense of, like, look at all the things that they've got to do, right? So you look from a business perspective straight away, you've got, obviously, marketing is a beast of a top, like, sales and marketing is huge in any commercial business, and they are a business, right? Sales and marketing is huge. Huge, should I say, like managing key performance indicators, business metrics, financial side of things, admin, work-life balance, time management, priority management, social media. Like, that's just the business side of it. And that's just skimming the surface. And then you've got obviously training, nutrition, and all the stuff that you just rattled off. You can't be, and I think this is where we have to drop our guard as an industry a little bit and go, I can't be an expert in all of them areas. So what am I going to do? Am I going to go and outreach? Am I going to go and find out the best person to go and find specifically for marketing, because I'm really poor at that? Or am I going to go to someone who's not the expert in all of them, but is more experienced, has gone through that within the industry as it's evolved in different products and different revenue streams, and have failed first, like a lot of people don't like to say that they have. And just drop the guard in a sense, I think. And I could relate this back, and we've said this quite a bit recently, is when we rewind 10, 15 years, I remember having, as a personal trainer without social media and social media groups, building a team around you. So in a sense of, like, anything rehab based or anything therapy based, when it comes to a client, you had your own not your own, but you had a physio who you linked in with, or a chiro who you linked in with, or someone who specialized in nutrition who you linked in with. Someone, it might be someone from a lifestyle perspective, from a, I don't know, psychology perspective. And you had 3, 4, 5 different people around you. That's kind of evolved as an industry now where you go, right, actually business is a beast. So that's one element that you probably need to build in just to support you. And even if that is just to pick up the phone to them once a week and just air your feelings out loud, that's huge for someone, not just for the business, but for themselves, because you can't do it all on your own and you can't be that expert. And as much as our industry likes to think that, or likes to put on this kind of show that we are kind of a jack of all trades, it's, yeah, you just can't do that because it's just going to affect you further down the line. Trust me, I did that for years. I was just in denial and it was my ego that got in the way of that.
I think as well, especially for the self-employed guys, and I think this is the case for anybody that's self-employed, is you're your own marketing team, finance team, mm-hmm. operations team, admin team, and you are, and it's kind of just reminding yourself, I think, sometimes to give yourself a break, because you are being 25 departments mm-hmm. every day. And I think, as you say, and that's awesome, if there's a way that there's a budget that allows it, or even just from a networking perspective, and it's more sharing experience than it is swapping cash with anybody, if you can help each other out by being each other's departments, if one of your pals is better at marketing and you're better at setting up the business chat side of things, and then helping each other, even if you're not paying out for those services, then it does alleviate the pressure. And I can relate to that just based off of how my day and week operates.
Yeah, 1,000,000%. Like, it's like, you've got to think about it as well. It's like, I started in the industry when I was 18 and I probably didn't have an element of an understanding for 10 years of fully about marketing, if I'm dead honest with myself, because there wasn't as much resources back then. There wasn't at all. You just kind of learn on the job. And I was forced to handle, like, I had a kid fairly early. So I was forced to then go and graft and do all the grind and work for 12, 14 hour days. And the majority of our industry is fairly young. So to try and tackle all of that, it's just overwhelming. This is where I come back to the point of, doesn't necessarily have to be a mentor, but there's just someone in them specific areas that can support you. And this is where, for me, like, different commercial gyms being the entry level into the industry need to step up. Like, they need to step up more and support them, especially in them first 3, 4, 5 years, in my opinion. And we say that with confidence because of what we've built from a pure gym perspective. But more need to follow with that. Because otherwise, that average lifespan of a PT, whether it's 7.5, 8 months, whatever it is now, it's always going to stay the same. And the demand for PTs to not want to, I smiled before when Nick said about, it's not about revenue. For me, the way the marketing message is in the industry now, it's shifting that way because of the online message. So that's dangerous in my opinion, because we're going to it's just going to be a constant revolving door.
And at the moment, I feel like the pace of, from a marketing perspective, just for a second, then we'll move on from this point. But from a marketing perspective, the rate of change is massive. And we were laughing before saying we didn't have Facebook and Instagram, whatever, when we were coming up through the years. But like, when Clubhouse popped up more recently, my first reaction was like, oh, Jesus Christ, it's another freaking channel. Like, something else someone's going to be messaging me on, something else we've got to talk on. And you want to embrace it because you want to be part of the movement, you want to be modern, and you want to embrace the conversations, and you want to be in the conversations and representing all the people that we represent. But at the same time, at the back of my head, I'm thinking, that's something else I've got to do. So I think that's overwhelming. Do you ever have, and this, I don't know if this is a thing, but do you ever advise some of your guys to pick one or two channels that they focus on or that they excel on, or to scratch the surface on all of them? Or is there ever a pattern to that?
I think it's, I mean, I've been very aware of this lately. More so, I don't know why, more so over the last kind of year or so. People do pick their kind of their social channels, but again, it's kind of following suit. Do you know what I mean? It's like the next person because they're on Instagram. I mean, picking on Instagram, I mean, it's a great platform, but the whole of the industry's on there, and it's a, you know, you talk social media nowadays in like a course or a webinar on marketing or sales, more often than not, people will be asking 95% of the time about Instagram versus Facebook, LinkedIn, YouTube, the kind of grassroots stuff as well. Like we started to kind of, I guess, recheck in and prompt people to start thinking about your local businesses, you know, doing door to door a little bit in regards to business to business, networking, like Ant was saying to you before, because it's just pigeonhole. So I do think it's important to kind of focus on having, I wouldn't say focusing on mastering one, because I don't think you'll ever master any of them because of how many things you can't control on those sites.
And then there'll be another one that comes up that's more popular and you've outdated yourself.
Yeah. Exactly, yeah. I think just recognise who, I think it's more from a case of recognise who your market is and how you can be very clever on creating content that you can repurpose across different platforms rather than just going, I'm a Facebook person or I'm a whatever. I think that's the more important thing for a lot of the guys, is just having that understanding and strategy and systems to just create content that you can use very more cleverly rather than doing more.
That makes sense.
Yeah, you can't. I think the amount of PTs messages we've had over the past 3 months, especially asking us, like, we know what's going on Instagram, like in a sense of, do you know what I mean? I can just about tag my location. Like, and what's happening with the algorithms or Instagram? I'm like, oh, come on, like, I'm asking the wrong guy here. But listen, like, they pin their hopes so much on that because it comes natural to them. And like everything Nick's just said, that actually we've started to talk now and go, right, under 10% of people are seeing your organic content, right, on Facebook and on Instagram in most cases, right? And you're putting all of your eggs in them baskets. That's it. Because why? Because everyone else is doing it. There's no reason. It's like, it's the natural thing to do. And I'm not saying that them things don't work, clearly not. And then they'll be like, what about paid marketing? I'm like, right, but let's just strip this back and look at what you enjoy to do. Are you a video person? Are you this? Are you a writer? Like, go back to that person who started out in the industry and wanting to help people, and what were you really passionate about? And how can you articulate that message to the demographic that you're trying to attract? It may be a longer form video that you can stick on YouTube that's going to help from a search perspective, that's going to help then you be able to control that in a sense of controlling the traffic to it. You can go and use that on your website. The blog and the article piece that you're really passionate about can be chopped up many times and put out in captions. So you're no longer, you gain an element of control about the social media work that you put out there, because you've still got that on your website, on your email list, and on your YouTube channel. And that's where we can control. And if they see the foundation of the source from that, and that's where they put the work in, you can then go and chop that up and put it wherever you want. And it doesn't actually matter how well it's doing or not, because you've got control here. And yeah, there's times where you can pulse it on Facebook and Instagram and throw some money behind it and stuff like that if you've got a campaign happening. But they get so frustrated, and it actually affects their confidence so much that they're not getting a return off the back of this stuff they're doing on Instagram and Facebook.
It does become a lot more about how good you are at editing.
Yeah.
And how good you are at creating Canva posts and you know, like, and don't get me wrong, like, quality is really important, really important. But you're adding another two jobs which you're not skilled in, which take training, which take certifications, which takes time of practice by a graphic designer, a videographer that have been through all that and are skilled to do it, that can do what you're trying to do in, that'll take you hours, can do in 10 minutes.
And we're not saying people can't do that. Clearly they can, and they're but for us, they're spending hours on doing stuff like that, which is understandable, get it completely. And then wondering why they're not getting the return that they want to, or they're not upskilling themselves and mastering themselves at their product and at their coaching and their service. And then their videos look great, Canva looks amazing, leads and sales are coming in, but their product and their coaching is
shit. Yeah.
Sorry, swearing, but shit. Yeah, which is then we come back. Yeah, I nearly went worse then, but that was and then you've got that revolving door again. And then you've got PTs in the industry going, Yeah, well, it's just these people just don't want it enough. They're lazy, they're not motivated. Nah, your product and your service and your coaching's crap, but your video editing.
I enjoyed the way that you came up close to camera. two things I wanted to pick up on what you just said. Number one, I think you make a really good point there about, yeah, have a little sprinkle on Instagram, etc. You don't have to be a pro in it, but if you're doing that as part of a mixture of other things, you're not then, I know I'm saying the obvious here a little, but you're not then relying on Instagram to generate that business for you. But what it does mean, you might pick up bits from it, but we all know from a marketing perspective that if they've seen it somewhere else in the high street through a friend or whatever, and then they see it on your Instagram, then it's only compounding message. So even if it's a sprinkle, it can add to other messages they're obviously receiving. But going back to what you said, Nick, about the B2B piece, do you think there's a bit of a lost art at the moment with speaking to people and generating leads?
Massive, like, so, like, ridiculous. It's crazy. And the only, I'm going to say that only because, you know, I've been in the scenarios of about 7 days. I've had no marketing, no social media, no emails. I've had to walk up to people that are getting on a cruise ship to get pissed for 7 days and sell them. Full disclosure, shit products, but it helps me a little bit. Well, it's arguable. And sell like classes and PT when they're on holiday. And that was all me with that person. There was nothing else. There was no lead magnets. There was no Instagram. There was absolutely nothing at all. And same with the gym environment, same with Anne, I'm sure, like back in the fitness first days, like, if you didn't get out on the floor and talk to people, if I don't go down to create that network around me, if I don't walk into a bank and talk to the HR manager about their staff and the wellness and stuff, like, it's ridiculous how easy that is, first of all, as to creating those relationships. And actually, it's the biggest factor which will almost accelerate their confidence, which is the biggest thing they need, and also accelerate their coaching skills and communication skills, which is the biggest thing they need. That it's mad. And I know we always go on about it because we were like, in our gym days, we had 1,800 members and 20 PTs. Now you've got 9 PTs and 8,000 members, and that's no, and the church and the saturation of that is non-existent.
It's really putting me up there, man.
Every day there's 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 members joining that gym every day of the year. I can't walk up to someone and get a client.
What are you
going to
say?
You know what's funny is when we bring this up in a seminar, a webinar, a workshop, or they all look at us like these young PTs and like, go into a bank and talk to them about health and wellness. Like, why can't we just use social media to do that? Like, they all look at us as if we're stupid. But yeah, if you look at what's about to happen over the next 3 months, 4 months, 5 months, like, the whole world's going to progressively go back to work. And there's never been a focus and a shift on health, fitness, nutrition, mental well-being than it ever has right now. It's probably escalated. They're going to have to do what they should have done 10 years ago, like right away.
One of the things we talk about loads in the Rebuild program, and for the most part, people watching this have been through the Rebuild program, is the coach is the center point of the community. And if you look at the COVID situation, you come through as a Rebuild grad, you can rehabilitate an individual from COVID. And the first thing we encourage the guys watching to do is tell everybody around you what you're now accomplished in local schools, colleges, university, employers, friends, your current clients, people across your community, however you get to them. Because for one of the first times in ages, this is such an easy message and referral win, because everybody knows someone who's had COVID, and everyone who's had COVID and is struggling is desperate for help. So whereas before that might have felt like a daunting exercise maybe to do, now you're coming at it from a slightly different place, it will be received slightly differently. So if this, like to your guys' point, if this is something that they've not done a whole host of before, this could be like a soft entry into testing that shit out. And like we know, last maybe a year or two ago, one of my gigs, and I was hired purely for this as a project, was to walk the streets of Birmingham, funny enough, and go into coffee shops, office buildings, hairdressers, bars, tailors, hotels, and talk about the fact of, you know, a local gym service that was now available in the city. And don't get me wrong, that was hours of pounding the street. And every time you go in the door, you're like, and then you go with a second wind and you put the biggest smile on your face and you bring all the banter and you have a laugh. But people freaking love it. If like yeah. you allow yourself to be yourself and you just kind of don't turn it into something massive, people are so receptive, because I think as well what that brings, which the digital community and the Instagram stuff doesn't bring, is that you're local. Like, and especially if you're coming at it from a self-employed perspective, because you're like, look, yeah, I'm local, it's my own company, and you're kind of really getting behind your own sort of merit there, and people really buy into that.
Yeah, and there's loads of empathy for that now, hey?
Yeah, loads.
And the missing link in the past was no businesses were probably had a target or had a budget for it. Now they're going to have a target and a budget for it. So it's a completely different kettle of fish. So if you're going in and building these relationships, whether that is on LinkedIn, whether that's walking through the streets and kind of meeting people or booking appointments with HR departments, you're going to be doing them a huge favor, because I can guarantee that's going to be part of their job. There'll be people employed in them positions. Like, we talked to one of the guys in the academy who's built his own app for corporate wellness and stuff like that, going out to kind of different businesses, and they're chomping at the bit now. Like, they're chomping at the bit now and employing people. And he's getting offered, he's going to companies with this app and going, right, I've built this to support your employees. It supports them with yoga, meditation, stress, anxiety. It's got some programs in there. It's got all of this type of stuff. And they're going, right, well, actually, we need that. But we also need someone who can head that up and roll that out across the whole business. And there's such a demand for it that, yeah, I think it's massive, especially for your guys who are qualifying in Rebuild and Fortitude and stuff like that, for when you've got to shout and scream about that, in my opinion.
Yeah. And there's a personality side, isn't there, as well?
The what? What did you say? It's
the personability side of that as well, because it's very... with anything COVID related, it's very sensitive, it's very heightened. The emotions are there, aren't they, behind everything. So you see on Instagram someone promoting that they are a COVID rehabilitation trainer or coach, and then you speak to them in the local GP where the GP's had contact with them, and maybe their friend and blah blah blah. It, like you say, it's those points of contact. And especially now, when there's so much miscommunication about everything, and there's a lot of hearsay, that know, like, and trust factors, it's absolutely massive, isn't it? And there's no getting out and getting in the community, because I think it's an untapped resource.
100%. And without knowing, what's awesome about everything that you just said is that where this little session will appear in Fortitude comes after, I'm pretty certain it's after, but don't quote me on that if it is before, people, as you're watching this. And we do a 2-hour corporate outreach session already that's in the program. So we have a resident pro called Mark Davis, who currently operates like a big corporate wellbeing and resilience building, but a business, but for like big national and international brands. And so Mark's run this session. Then we just did, in case the guys watching and missed it, we just did a session with Mark specifically about little sound bites that some of his corporate clients are responding positively to with regards to bringing in outsourced expertise in fitness and in corporate wellbeing. So unknowingly, you just seamlessly linked that into previous episodes, which was beautifully done. Before I redirect our conversation slightly, just while we're on this topic of challenges and maybe missed opportunities, is there, and there may not be, three common things typically with the guys that you're working with that they struggle with? There's always like a three, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, but is it, for example, confidence, choosing your pricing, and something else? Is there always the same three?
It's definitely confidence is one of them.
Yeah.
100%. Is that top one, do you think?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, confidence is one. At the moment, recently, prioritizing what they need to do, when they need to do it, and being accountable for the time that they're spending in their week on their business. That's quite a big one. That time management prioritization piece is, that's, yeah, a lot of them are struggling with that. A lot of them.
Ant needs to trademark his whiteboard. If we had more time, I'd get him to talk to you that now. But we'll come back to that later. Yeah. Session. Sorry, mate, go on.
Number three.
What was number two?
That one, prioritizing time. So prioritizing tasks. Yeah. Number three.
It's marketing.
It's shit, isn't it? But it is marketing, yeah.
It's always marketing.
And that one's a bit, well, they're all a biggie, really. Because I think, well, the first one can take years. Marketing is being a jack of all trades. And then the prioritizing thing, again, building habits and figuring out systems that work for you, which I guess brings us back to our very first point of, it takes years to find your own map and your own route around all of these things.
Yeah, and I think the difference now to when we started was, we probably had all, well, we definitely had all of them issues, 1,000,000%. But when it came to marketing, you only marketed within the building and you tried to stand out with a niche. So like mine was, I wanted to be strength conditioning and stand out as S&C, which was mad because hardly anyone at that point had any interest in it in a commercial gym in the middle of Manchester, but that's a different story. Whereas now you've just got to really double down on the demographic that you want to work with, what their frustrations are, their fears are, their challenges, their pain points, their triggers, the benefits that they need coming into your service and stuff like that, and how to position and speak their language. Now, I say just, that's a big job. But if I am relentlessly going out there, researching my market and trying to find out more about them, actively listening to my clients, I can unpack that and use it to help me stay on that, stay on track with my marketing and not be diverted with, oh, she's doing that reel, so I might do that reel. And that personal trainer's doing this offer, so you know what, I'm going to try that. Because that's a big issue. Because if they double down on and feel really confident, and I know confidence is a barrier, on that's who it is, that's who they are, I'm just going to go down this road and literally have blinkers on to try and just bring in this demographic. Eventually, with that relentless consistency, they will bring in and start to solve that marketing problem, as long as they're going out there with the consistency to pull the feedback to then adapt and change where necessary. The difference is, a lot of personal trainers will try something new and their barrier and change is, if that doesn't meet their expectation, which is normally short-term gratification, then they'll divert to, oh, she's doing a reel where she's jumping in and out of Gymshark Club, or I'm going to do that and get clients too. It doesn't work like that.
I think we can all be guilty of this either in the early days or often, but you all too quickly can go, shit, that didn't work, okay, abort, and go and do something else. But I mean, geez, you guys know, I've been pounding the COVID drum for coming up to a year. I mean, it doesn't feel like a year, but that's been consistently the same message that we've been talking about. And our entire business isn't based off of COVID. We're an education company, but we stuck our stake in the ground in terms of, we're committing to COVID right now, and that's what we're getting behind. And so everything's kind of fallen in sync with that. But as I say, a year in the making, almost. You said something else then that stuck with me, the confidence piece. This, I mean, gosh, this probably could be 3 hours in itself, but from a confidence perspective, if there was one thing that you tell your coaches to consider or work, like if there was one thing that guys watching today could take away as a tip or a piece of advice that you talk about frequently in terms of confidence, is there a go-to or anything that you might share?
Who's going first?
I've got two quick ones.
Go on then.
Three for one. Go on.
Oh no, they're gone now. Oh, repetition. Was that yours, was it?
No.
Repetition. Like, there's, you can't do something once, not get what you expected, and then give up on it. So you've got to repeat. Like, it's the same as, you know, exercise. You repeat the exercise over and over again to get the benefits from it. So exactly the same, whether it's marketing or whatever. So
doing more of it will breed more confidence in yourself with it, you mean?
Yeah, because, for example, if you put up a post on Facebook or Instagram, it doesn't get any leads, or it doesn't get anyone inquiring, or you put a call to action together, or the email doesn't get opened, that doesn't mean you stop doing that. You've got to continually get there, learn that, say, take little bits and pieces of feedback, change things up a little bit, but consistency and repetition is really important. And then the other thing that I was going to say is understand what you're working towards in regards to what you want to achieve, whether that's short term or long term, because ultimately that'll enable you to have successes in the small process-based goals, which will help with confidence again, rather than just going, I haven't earned 1,500 quid, 200, 2 grand, whatever, at the end of the month, so I've failed, lack of confidence, et cetera, et cetera.
I think what's awesome about what you just said there, though, is we're talking about confidence, but the things you just talked through are processes, habits, things that you build into your daily routine, your work life. It's not standing in front of the mirror and saying affirmations, for example. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? So I think sometimes when people think about confidence, you think it's about doing your Tony Robbins and doing your trampoline bounces and some deep breaths. And, do you know all that vibe? But you're going instead, you've given, if you focus on these things, your outcome, part of it will be confidence, but that's actually not what you focused on. And I think sometimes people can try so hard to focus on the confidence that almost makes it can make you more insecure. Whereas it's creating the, I keep saying roadmap for some reason, but it's creating the roadmap towards confidence that almost, and I guess, without being super cheesy about it, it's the same with, and you guys say this all the time, which I love, that it's the same when you're working with your clients or when we ourselves are training. It's not obsessing about the outcome. It's doing the bits along the way right, consistently, and understanding it, which gets you the outcome.
100%. It's battling with that client that's just talking and getting demotivated by the scale not going down, or the dress size, or the measurements, or the weight not going up on the barbell, or whatever.
Mm.
Exactly the same. Like, logically, it doesn't make sense when you're coaching someone, but then yourself as a coach in your own business, you're doing exactly the same. And you're actually probably, that's probably more heightened for you because you work in that business 30, 40, 50 hours a week, where that person may check the scale once, twice. So it's actually probably worse off for trainers versus clients.
And your face before suggested that Nick took your point.
It's all right.
Do you want to throw in a third? I did only ask for one, so two
minutes. No, Mel did ask for one, yeah. But as always, Nick likes to over-deliver. Do you know what? 9 times out of 10, it comes back to why they got into the industry. Because a lot of PTs get into the industry because they were self-conscious, not confident within themselves, whether that's a male weight room, whether that's, do you know what I mean? It's like, that's what it is. And then they find a passion, they qualify, they then get really anxious about not knowing enough and making it within the industry. And they've still got this picture of themselves that they might not look like a PT and all of that type of shit. So like, I completely get and understand all of that. And I think my biggest bit of advice off the back of it is 100% what Nick's just said, the consistency point is the key. We on our 6-week program, we support the, well, we don't support them, we throw them in at the deep end and say, right, there's a topic, here's some action points, you now have to submit a video into the rest of the group with 50 personal trainers in there and talk us through what you found from that, what you're going to do.
Well, I'm not in the group, so I haven't seen those, yeah. But I've seen it when you talk about it on social. I think they look
It's amazing to get that personal trainer who's never talked on video before or avoided it, and then 6 weeks later they're doing their own podcast. It's just unreal, like live on YouTube, and it's just unbelievable, which backs up Nick's point of consistency. And I think my only other point on that is just this is part of a process, and the most of the industry is young, so it's hard for me to say this because it takes years and it differs from person to person, but you have to be, like, as cheesy as it sounds, like, unapologetically yourself constantly, because you don't realize, like, how much your audience need that. Like, we come out with that cheesy saying that people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. Like, that's what, especially in a commercial gym world and in general, and you're going to see an ever-growing, that's going to be heightened as more people are more health aware who've never been in gyms before. Like, that's so important now to show that you are yourself. You've got, and people are doing this in our industry. We've got a massive shift of it. And so, as our industry does, some of them have took it too far. But yeah, at that point, like, be unapologetically you. It doesn't matter how dull you think you are, how boring you think you are, and how people don't want to know about you and your life. Actually, strangely enough, people are nosy bastards, and they do. Do you know what I mean? So they want to know that the personal trainer is real, relatable, doesn't eat chicken and broccoli six times a day, do fasted cardio and trains in the afternoon. They don't want, like, they want to see you for you. Do you know what I mean? So, yeah, like, just be yourself.
Yeah, warts and all, and authentic.
Yeah.
What made, unknowingly, I wanted to get on to before we finished, but unknowingly, you've done a little nice little segue then. Because I wanted to ask, before we lose you, what made you guys set up the PTMA?
It was born, it kind of originated by accident, to be honest. And so we were running, we designed and run course, business courses and support for Pure Gym PTs. And naturally, you just get people asking for a little bit more help. But, and it's a big but, we know the difference between the accountability and the focus between someone paying for a service and someone not paying for a service. And Pure Gym PTs, they shouldn't as well, because, you know, it's a huge thing for them to have. And it's something that we're very passionate about, to give them that support. But there's a big difference in application and value when someone pays for something. Okay. So naturally, we just started to coach people. That's 5 years ago now. We started the one-to-one stuff, and then we got to kind of it was just that it was quite disheartening at some points. I can't speak for Ant, but you only had a certain amount of time with PTs, and there's only so much you can do in, like, back then it was like over 2 days, like 6-7 hours a day coaching them on everything, and it was just like blowing their heads off, and then they'd, you know, you'd walk back in weeks later and they'd be still be struggling with the same thing you went over. So that's, I think, where the notion of application over information really kind of set in with us, and I guess that's kind of how it was born, really.
One
of the things that's the sort of behind this mentorship series is we know that there are people that are coaches that are part of our community that we work with that want to choose a mentor and choose the right mentor for them, and get from the mentor they're working with those extra pieces and those, you know, that sounding board in the areas of expertise or the areas that they want to develop expertise. So one of the purposes of the mentorship series is to show our coaches how, you know, guys like you guys operate as mentors and what you offer, in case some of our guys watching think, well, actually, shit, I could really do with the support of an Ant and Nick. With that in mind, how does the PTMA work and what do the guys get, etc.?
Do you want me to go?
Yeah, go on then, crack on.
I feel like I'm...
Preface this, for our guys watching, this is like, I don't want people, and hopefully it doesn't come across as this, but these mentorship series videos, they're not about little mini sales pitches, and that's certainly not why Ant and Nick are here. Like, that's not our vibe, is it? But I do hope, because I fully, and I'm going to talk about this more in a second, but I fully buy into what it is that you guys do and what you offer your people. And if we can showcase what it is you guys do to some of our community and more of our community, the combined community, I think that our coaches could learn a shit ton, a number of them, from what it is that you guys do. So hit us up with how it works.
I'll kind of I'll tell you how we operate, and then you can go into some detail. I think one of the things that we are really passionate about is that you're not buying or investing into sales scripts or anything like that at all, right?
So yesterday's post.
Yeah, anything like that at all. We are very much coaching / mentoring. So a lot of the time, we want, essentially, one of our aims is to get you to the point where you don't need us anymore, where those questions is that you need someone else to answer those different questions because you're confident and happy in what to do, how to do it, what to prioritize, all those kind of things, which doesn't mean you come on a call with us every week and we tell you what to do. Like, it's not the way we operate at all. Like, we will coach you to the point where you find out what's right for you and applying it in the way that you want to for your goal and your business and your personality, etc. So if you are, I guess the main point out of that, a mentor and a coach, in my opinion, isn't going to tell you what to do. If you want to know what to do, you could find that on Google, how to set up a sales funnel, how to, their how-tos, like. So it's very much about getting you to the point where you're confident and empowered enough to make the right decisions in the right way for your business going forward. So that's kind of a bit of our ethos about what we do.
And is that how the cohorts work then? Because I know you sort of apply to be part of the next cohort. Well, come in and work with you for a period of time and then kind of graduate, and then another group works with you. Is that how it works?
Yeah, kind of. We first set up one-to-one, and we've only got a limited amount of time to do that. But then we also recognize that certain educational pieces in there that we sometimes don't have time to do for people, like on a call, for example, which we set up in like a group and whatnot. But we now take cohorts on of trainers on a 6-week period to kind of rapidly get them to learn and apply in a very intense period. And then there's opportunities then to kind of continue on being kind of coached from a distance from that. So the cohorts, yeah, it's more group business coaching, yeah, on that side of things.
I think, just like to add like detail on that, I think what we do is, obviously the ethos of that is everything what Nick just said, but we want to raise the confidence and the standards and the, I suppose, the behaviours of PTs in their day-to-day role. So I feel like we've got enough experience and we've done enough courses and spent enough money on courses to go, right, we've gone and sat on these, and we continue to obviously want to develop and stuff like that. We've gone and sat on these courses. Like, that's a lot of noise that you just don't need to hear. Some of you might, but in general don't. So if you want to come here and build a really good, sustainable PT business that's based on revenue, for example, at First of All, that's touching $5,000 a month or whatever, which is online, this is kind of the types of stuff, marketing considerations, but it has to be applied by you, understanding it, your demographic, and so on. If you want to improve your coaching delivery, understanding of behavior change, how to adapt motivational interviewing into your coaching scenarios with clients, and how to get the best out of clients and to coach them properly like we're coaching you, then that's what we'll go into detail with. We don't really need to go into the detail and the noise any more than that behind it. And it's just essentially making them over a 6-week period a more confident coach, like in all of them areas, without having to go too far into understanding about Facebook ads or too far understanding about funnels. They've just got an understanding of what they need to do to get to where they want to be in a short space of time. Now, that's not me turning around and saying at the end of the 6 weeks, these guys are an absolute finished article, because it depends on the PT. Like, absolutely depends on the PT. And I'm sure we'll evolve the product and our service over time to make sure that that continues to grow. And I think the biggest major difference between what we do and what a lot of other people out there do is, obviously, we don't put a system first. We put the PT first. So constantly the PT is first, and it's theirs. We create that environment for them to go, right, there's the education. I now need to decide with the accountability of Aunt Nick and the rest of the group, how I apply that in my business. And I think that's the most important thing, instead of what a lot of people do, which is why I don't like the mentor stage of our name. We keep having arguments about this.
PTA.
Yeah. No, because then it's the PT Academy, and that's a whole different kettle of fish.
That's another story.
don't start me on that one. But essentially we coach. So it's like the same as them with the clients. They're coaching progressive overload, nutrition, behavior change, supporting the clients with accountability, application and stuff like that. We're doing it with motivational interview and behavior change, consultations, marketing, lead generation, social media, time management. We're doing it with the stuff that they need to do to build a career within the industry that can benefit them financially, but also give them a decent work-life integration with their families and all of that type of stuff. So yeah, it's always the PT first, not the system.
So because I know you've just taken on a new cohort, right? And so we're in, for anybody watching this, we're just coming to the end of Feb. So how often do they happen? Monthly or 6 weeks?
They'll happen about every 8-9 weeks. So we'll have like a little nice gap 2 weeks. Because what we'll do is, like the guys who just finished the last program, we sent them a survey and we literally push for negatives. Like we really break it down. So they have to be really critical. And then we'll spend 2-3 weeks developing what we need to develop off the back of that feedback, comparing that against previous feedback, and then going, right, actually, could we deliver this a little bit better? Because what you've got to understand is, like everyone else, we've moved to this online world so quick. So adapting the delivery of that is really different for us who've stood up in front of people doing seminars and workshops for so long, like for years. So it was a really big shift for us, and to keep them engaged and keep it interactive. So we literally hunt for the negative, spend 2 weeks correcting it, and then we launch another a bit of an intake. So there's always about a 2-4 week gap between courses, but we had a massive demand for this one, so we went quite quickly.
I think what's useful for the guys watching to know as well is, whilst you've got those stage cohorts coming through, your like lives on Instagram, they're pretty much like daily or several times a week now?
No, so we do a Tuesday one at 9:30, and then if we have a specific webinar, so what have we done? We've done quite a lot for the PTC, so it probably seems as though we've done more on Instagram. So we've done client adherence, we've done, what did we do last time? Setting your clients up for success,
yeah,
and goal setting, business planning. So we've just been really busy with that stuff and helping the PTC out a little bit with that initiative, with what they're doing, which is unreal. So we've looked a bit busier, but actually live on Instagram 9:30 on a Tuesday.
But I think it's worth the guys watching as well to know that so much of what we've talked about today in regards to the outreach stuff, the confidence stuff, systems, habit building, etc., the posts that you put out on Instagram pretty much daily capture a lot of that, and that's all available on social. For the guys watching now, as I think what would be a really awesome follow-up for them is for them to jump on that, and they'll be able to hone in on some more of the themes that we've talked about today and learn a bit more from you two and get to know your personalities a little bit more, which I adore, and Ant's profanity, which I also adore. And I just think, you know, as I said, the purpose of this series is for people to kind of try out a few ideas and kind of a few different perspectives and a few potential mentors and see who they can relate to and who resonates with them well.
Yeah, we're certainly not for everybody, are we?
Nick's not, no.
What do you mean by that? No, I've asked the question now you said it.
A lot of PTs can get a bit frustrated with the... A lot of PTs will come to us and go, I just want to be told, here's this marketing system to bring me a volume of leads. And we'll be like, well, fuck off to somewhere else, because we don't do that. So they'll get frustrated with that initial call where we're just asking 2 or 3 questions.
And we're like, right, I think a really important point off that is that as not because we don't want to tell you what works and what doesn't,
no,
is that we know in 4 weeks you'll be asking the same questions.
Yeah.
Same as a client, isn't it?
Guaranteed.
A client, you'll turn around and tell a client about an energy deficit and about tracking them their calories on MyFitnessPal, and 2 months later they'll come back to you and can't, I've not stayed tracking. I don't understand this. Like, what happens?
How do you log in? How do you log in again?
How do I still put my exercise in MyFitnessPal? So yeah, essentially what we want is, it goes back to Nick's point before, and obviously it ends nicely on this, is we want them to be able to become self-sufficient. We want them to be able to do all of this on their own without us. And that's not us. No part of that is us going, there's a system, go and use it. Because without us, then you're absolutely knackered. So we coach that from you. And it can be a frustrating process for some people, but it is what it is. We're in this to help PTs with that delayed gratification and seeing how they can reinvest in their business long-term and stay here long-term and change people's lives long-term. We're not here for that rapid sales funnel that's going to earn you 10K a month, because that's not us.
And one of the, well, several reasons why we love you, Pear, so much is you're so real. You're incredibly authentic. You talked about this before with regards to the coach approach, but you are unashamedly yourselves all the time, which I think is amazing. Everything you do for the people that you represent comes from the right place and is always super authentic. But not only all those kind of positive, humanistic and personality characteristics, you've got a shit ton of experience behind you, which helps the coaches that you work with to cut through the shit and get to where they want to go quicker. And for all those reasons, we wholly support what it is that you guys are about. And you guys have given us and our cause coaches, in particular our cause rebuild coaches, a shed ton of airtime to celebrate and showcase what it is that they're doing across consumer populations. And for that, a massive thank you from us all. And we're proud to continue to chat with you guys and chew the fat and share nuggets with more people as much and as often as we can. So I'm going to shut up because I know you guys need to leave us because you've got another meeting. And because I do have a gazillion questions and I could talk to you both all day. But thank you for being here. Thank you for sharing some amazing nuggets with everybody watching. Hopefully this won't be the last time that we see you. Before we leave you, any passing Friday comments? Leaving comments.
I'm terrible at this. Saying goodbye is terrible, isn't it?
No, you hang up. You hang up. No, you.
Yeah, it's one of them, isn't it? Still there? No. Like anything, we're always available. If anyone wants any questions, always get in touch. We're more than happy to talk and help out.
Yeah, and you genuinely couldn't be in a better environment, could they? Because you're a legend. Carl's a wizard. yeah, and honestly, it's like they couldn't be in a better environment. So, just continue to do what they're doing. And if they need us for anything, which I'm sure they won't, but if they need us for anything, then reach out.
Awesome. And I hope a lot of the guys will come and check you out and throw some obscure questions your way to continue the conversation. Right. Thanks so much, gents.
See you soon.
Thank you, too. Thanks for jumping on. He's gone already. Fucking hell. I was going to do like a whole nice goodbye. Right, you do need to go because I've realised I was like shit in my pants about time because there was loads I wanted to ask you, but I knew you had to go.
No, it's good, mate. It's good.
Thanks.
No worries, mate.
You go. Bye.